Might want to. Great, let's have some questions. Silence means agreement. There we are. Dan.
Thank you. In week one, how do we get people to commit to the whole course?
We don't. I think in week one, there are lots of reasons why people come. So they might have come just out of the pressure of a friendship, but actually their heart is always quite hard. And I think we've just got to be prepared for the fact that there is often a drop-off between week one and week two. What we try and do is learn their name, be as gracious as possible, and pray. But often you can have people who've been an absolute delight on week one, and then they're not there week two. Mm-hmm. Anything to add on that, Craig?
I think the difference in my experience in operating largely in Scotland has been that generally the people have come are people we've had relationships with or have built relationships with. And when you have a bit of a relationship, that locks people in a little bit more. Even they just feel out of embarrassment, they don't want to let you down, they'll come again. It's not a great reason to come, but that's part of the reason. Now, you can't do that if you're broadcasting and you're getting lots of people coming in that you don't have relationships with. So I think you just have to go with that. But ideally, if part of the strategy is actually to be getting to know people, Who did you used to know? Who do you know now? Who would you like to know? Building relationships with these people, getting them along. If there is a little bit of a personal connection, I've just found that brings people back as much as anything else.
Just turn to page 22 in the books, if you could, everybody. Just thank you, Dan. It's a great question. Just to know, this is about getting people and running events with people on page 22. But often we'll start off with in terms of relationships, we don't know them well. In terms of gospel content, not high. So, you know, we're doing a Lord of the Rings, all three films, coming up on a couple of Saturdays' time. You know, come and watch the whole day of it. Well, you may think you need a very strong relationship to get someone to do that, but, you know. But basically, by the time we get to Christianity Explored, the reason people often come is it often takes 18 months to get them on a course, we find. So they don't just come immediately. It's 18 months of maintaining it. But often that is gospel content is high, but relationships are strong. That's what they're in that top right quadrant there. So there has been a bit of a journey to get them there. So hopefully that'll keep them for a bit. But be ready for the parable of the sower at the end of week one. People can often not come. I don't know what's the experience here at St. Helens, Andrew. Is that similar? Or?
Yeah, we get some drop-off. Yeah. But again, mostly friends bringing that.
Mostly friends bring friends. At the back there, yep.
Have you got any tips for basically having built relationships with people, good relationships, carried out Christianity Explored, people are still keen to meet for Bible study, and some of them seem to have come to an understanding of who Jesus is, but actually getting them to come and be part of the church family, the whole, you know, cost part of, I'm really struggling with that, actually, with a number of friends, so, yeah, sort of even 18 months down the line, a year, 18 months.
Oh, gosh.
Do you think they're professing faith? Do you think they're Christian?
I do, actually, yes. Yeah. Some of them are from a Catholic background, so have already had sort of church experiences, struggling sort of with the whole organised religion side of things, particularly.
So culturally for them, there's the pain of being seen to cross the line from the Catholic Church to the Protestant Church, so that's a big issue. I suppose, my longing is to see churches figuring this out as they begin the courses, not waiting to see what will happen. That they have a strategy that says at the end of this, we long to see people saved, but we also want to work towards their integration in the local church. And part of that is going to be not so much worrying, are they getting out on a Sunday, are they comfortable with that? They might, for the initial period, not cope with that. But if they're in a small group and they're being fed and there's a level of accountability, they're reading, they're praying, they're being reminded of grace, they're hearing the gospel again, I think initially, until they begin to get their feet, I wouldn't worry so much about the formal side of it. The other thing is that, we said this earlier on, that one of the reasons we teach about the church on the course is because it is the support package God has given us for when the world goes like that. And it's just lovely for people when they do feel the pressure, when they do begin to confess Christ, and they do feel the pressure they've got, suddenly they want to run to these folks who support them and stand with them. So the church becomes not a duty, but a kind of place that they want to be and be part of the family there.
Thanks.
Does that make sense?
Yep, very good. The national statistics on this, Peter Brearley, who I think is the foremost statistician, says says that 40 years ago, 66% of people, two-thirds of people, had a moment of decision when they came to faith. And often their commitment was then full on. You know, they prayed the prayer or whatever it was, but they were converted. I worked with a colleague who was very much into decision. The Billy Graham Organization, their magazine is called Decision. The statistics now is that one-fifth of people have a moment of decision. Now, that's why our personal work has got to be so much more, because there is this journey people are on, particularly when everything is my servant and I'm the customer, when they just don't see what it means to serve in a local church. And I think, sister, you're just right in the middle of that, and we're all feeling it. You know, whilst in the past, I think often talking about the need for personal work for many, they just think, you know, I asked one guy on personal work, he said, listen, Billy Graham, when asked who followed him up, said the Holy Spirit. But, you know, that makes life a lot easier for me as a Christian because, you know, I door knock, they make the decision, then the Holy Spirit follows them up and they're going. And to be frank with you, when the wind was behind us in the culture, Christian-wise, often the wind of that would carry people along. So we'd get them on the Christian Explore, Discipleship Explore, they'd be in a fellowship group, they'd be fine, and no one had really done a lot of personal work. We're having to do so much more personal work now. So the best guy on my Christian Explore table, I've just realised, and I've got back from holiday and not been on it, but I've just realised I've not seen him at church for 3 weeks. And he was the best guy that came through in the summer. I'm thinking, oh. Now that tells you where the rest of them are. So I just think we've just got to set ourselves for working much harder. Great question, and my heart bleeds on it. I just think we've got to keep knowing the word does its work. So I keep teaching them the Bible, but it's a long old process.
And I think my other frustration is that very often whole church families don't buy into that. They don't think about, you know, we need to get our arms around these people and draw them in and love them and care for them and so on. If we can cultivate that with the church family, and that's part of the strategy that we're trying to work on Christianity Explored, to say to churches on training days, not like today, but to say to churches, figure this out as you're planning your evangelism. Who is going to be responsible? The team who runs CE cannot do all the discipling. Yeah. How are you going to, you know, plan it now, pray about it now, train the people, get the whole church family praying for those who are on the course, and then getting buy-in in terms of we want to serve them, we want to love them, and be prepared for the disappointments.
Yeah, it's real. Just it's hard yakka, got to keep going. It does mean, if you're sitting next to one of the people on my table, you know, on a Sunday, please find, you know, if you know that they've just been on CE and they say that when we have the stop in the service where you talk to your neighbour, that's where they're at, please say, let's have a coffee. And if you're the other sex, if it's boy-girl thing, then let's just be wary on that in terms of the message we might give. So let's say, well, let's three or four of us go for a coffee. But please extend friendship. Yeah. Great question. Yeah. And our hearts break on this one. Other questions? Yep. Matt.
Craig, I think this might be one for you. Just bouncing back to where we were in Mark 10... Jesus' response to Peter in 28:29, and the question, we've left everything and followed you. Could you just say something more, and by way of clarification, on the point that you were trying to make in relation to that? Because there seems to be a sense in which Jesus is kind of commending the kind of leaving house and home.
Yeah, I think he's acknowledging. So Peter's feeling the pain. As he sees the rich man go back to his wealth, he's not going back to his wealth because he's left it all to follow Jesus. We've left everything to follow you. And Jesus acknowledges that. Yes, that's true. That's what you've done. But the point of it is, and this, I think this was very helpful to me as I used to do these conferences and think about teaching the cost. And it always sounded like, this is where you pay. This is how you earn your salvation. Although it's by grace, actually, it's going to be very difficult now, and you might die, and you might lose this, you might have to give up that. Actually, Jesus is saying, in real terms, you don't give up anything for me. I'll make sure you get everything, and in the age to come, I will give you eternal life. So Peter, we've left everything to follow you. Jesus ends up with Peter thinking, there's no loss here. I get everything I need. I'm in this new family, in terms of the Christian life, I have the Spirit within me, I have access to the Father, I have this for now, and I have the joy of the Lord as my strength, and in the age to come I have eternal life. So all I was saying was, let's not confuse the cost of discipleship, which we must teach. Deny yourself, take up the cross. Let's not see that as a works add-on to being saved by grace. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
gone off. Can I ask a supplementary? How do we deal on the back of that with the tendency? I think in a lot of people I speak to, people want to climb the ladder. They want to be, they want kind of their status to be based on their merits. How can we particularly deal with those people that really are offended by grace and really want it to be about what they've done?
Brother, I think it's where we've just got to talk about our own sin and just say, look, this will not get us right with God. So I think you know, if you on the table, you know, we shared not only the gospel of God but ourselves as well. You know, it's where the pastor has to confess and just say, look, this, it just is never going to make it. So our own experience of conviction of sin, I think there's a, you know, so as they sit there thinking that they're making it, just say, look, this is nowhere. Have you seen, you know, let me tell you about my own impurity. This is what's really going on in my heart. So John Stott says humility is just honesty. It's just saying this is what's going on. How can I possibly think that I'm right with God when I look at my motives or whatever?
And I just think constant exposure to the gospel.
Yeah.
Just the reality of your own heart exposed in that, and the wonder of God's grace and the enormity of the cross. Someone who wants to lean on that crutch, which is their own righteousness, needs a brother to come along and kick the crutch away. Because they're leaning on the wrong thing, and the enormity of the cross is despised by someone who does that. And it's going to mean a very up and down Christian life. They're going to be happy when they feel they're doing well and miserable when they're not. But
It was Hanley Moule who said, at the heart of all heresy is an inadequate view of sin. So whenever you're trying to work out what's wrong with, I mean, it might be charismatic side of things, it might be Catholic Church or elsewhere, Seventh-day Adventists, look at what they think about sin, and you'll find out you'll quickly get to where the problems are. Mm-hmm. Another question there. Is there one? Just as we're waiting, everybody, there's a conference on Preaching Jesus with Sinclair Ferguson, which is coming up at All Souls, Tuesday the 5th of October. We've got details here, but should be a great conference for evangelists. Brother, yeah.
I was just wondering if there's, I don't know, any plans for a kind of more student-friendly version, sort of conscious that 10 weeks is quite a long time in quite a short university term. I mean, what are your thoughts about using CE in that sort of context?
Well, actually, the vast majority of churches run Christianity Explored in 7 weeks. So just run the first 7 weeks, that recruit for 2 weeks, and then the last nine. In fact, here at St. Helens, you do a seven-week course, don't you?
We have done.
Yeah. Yeah. Even here at St. Helens, I know Paul Clark has run a three-week course. So there is a version of that. If we have a chat, we can talk about that. The great thing with Identity Mission Call is you can cut the material in terms of the time, because it's just so clear what you're trying to get across. The issue with going shorter, here's the big issue, is relational. The danger of shorter times is that you just have less time for relational. And as the cost gets bigger, as the culture moves further away from Christ, I need more time with people relationally to help them over the line and to support them once they're over the line. Anything on that? No? Great. Andrew, thank you very much for sorting the day. Brother, really appreciate the platform. Everyone, thanks for coming. Craig and I'll be here afterwards. If you want to chat, let's do that. Andrew, why don't you close with a prayer?